King Æthelstan, the Lord of Warriors, patron of heroes, and his brother too, Prince Edmund, won themselves eternal glory in battle with the edges of their swords round Brunanburh. They broke the wall of shields. The sons of Edward, with their well-forged swords, slashed at the linen shields. Such was their nature from boyhood that in that battle they had often fought for their land, its treasures and its homes against all enemies. Their foes fell dead. The Scottish soldiers and their pirate host were doomed to perish. And with blood of men, the field was darkened from the time the sun rose at the break of day. The glorious star, God, the eternal Lord's bright candle, passed across the land until his noble creature sank to its resting place. There, many men lay slain by spears, and northern warriors shot down despite their shields, and Scotsmen too, weary with battle sated. The West Saxons, throughout the whole long passing of the day, pressed on in troops behind the hostile people, hewed fiercely from the rear the fleeing host with well-ground swords. The Mercians refused hard battle play to none among the fighters who came with Anlaf over rolling seas, bringing invasion to this land by ship destined to die in battle. Five young kings lay dead upon the battlefield by swords sent to their final sleep, and likewise seven of Anlaf's earls and countless of his host, both Scots and seamen. Where the Norseman's chief was put to flight and driven by dire need with a small retinue to seek his ship, the ship pressed out to sea, the king departed onto the yellow flood and saved his life. Likewise, the wise old Constantinus came, the veteran, to his northern native land by flight. He had no reason to exult in that encounter, for he lost their friends and was deprived of kinsmen in the strife upon that battlefield, and left his son, destroyed by wounds on that grim place of slaughter, the young man in the fight. The grey-haired man had little cause to boast about that battle, the sly old soldier, any more than Anlaf. They could not, with their remnant, laugh and claim that they were better in warlike deeds. When banners met upon the battlefield, spears clashed and heroes greeted one another. Weapons contended when they played at war with Edward's sons upon the place of carnage. The Norsemen left them in their well-nailed ships. The sad survivors of the dance, on Dingir's Mere, over the deep sea, back they went to Dublin. To Ireland they returned with shameful hearts. The brothers also both went home together. The king and prince returned to their own country, the land of Wessex, triumphing in war. They left behind corpses for the dark, black-coated raven, horny-beaked to enjoy, and for the eagle, white-backed and dun-coated, the greedy warhawk, and that grey, wild beast, the forest wolf. Nor has there on this island been ever yet a greater number slain, killed by the edges of sword before this time, as books make known to us and old and learned scholars. After hither came the Angles and the Saxons from the east over the broad sea sought the land of Britain. Proud war makers, victorious warriors, conquered the Welsh and so obtained this land.